House report. Reading from verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly loved and longed for, my joy and crown, to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abound, to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now God will bless the reading of his lovely word, as he has promised to do. You have been very good. You've sat through the Bible readings, and you've heard the ministry of our dear brethren. And I would just like to leave some very interesting things that have exercised my heart, and I'd pick it up from verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state therewith to be content. There's many things that you could say about the Philippian epistle. One has suggested that the epistle to the Ephesians takes us up, and Colossians brings us down. And the Philippian epistle here, you find it's a very practical epistle, and yet you find the Apostle Paul in circumstances that few of us would know. And yet, right throughout this letter, he speaks of joy and rejoicing. This letter is full of a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus. And if we had time, we could look at one of the things that the Apostle Paul, one of the themes, is the return of the Lord Jesus and the wonderful coronation of our blessed Savior at his return. And you find here in this chapter, the Apostle uses the little word content. You remember the soldiers when they asked John the Baptist, what should we do? He said to be content with your wages. Rob no man. That is something sometimes that we need to take in, but that's not what I'm thinking about today. You'd find that Paul, in writing to Timothy, in chapter 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we'll take nothing out of the world. I know of a person related to me through marriage, And he knows a number of people who were very heavily invested in Wall Street. They had borrowed money so they could buy into stocks and so forth. Some of them lost millions. I remember as a little boy that we moved into a house in Belfast. It was a nice home. And suddenly, we had to move out. It wasn't that my parents didn't pay the rent. But the man that loaned them the house or rented the house to them, he had made investment. And there was a crash. The money went down. That man took his own life. You see, really, you and I, whatever we have got in this world, it really doesn't belong to us. Because Paul says, we brought nothing in, and we'll take nothing out. And ultimately, everything belongs to the Lord. Whether it's the sun, or the rain, or the moon, or the stars, they're all His. The Apostle Paul now speaks about a contented mind. He says, whatsoever state, he says, I have learned of whatsoever state I am. Now that is what God tells us in the commission, that go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. In the gospel work, and in any work for God, you find it's to make disciples. And disciples are people who are ever learning. And we heard about the Apostle Paul this morning. And here you find a man, he speaks about having learned. In whatsoever state he was, he said, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now that would be a good challenge for Tommy Thompson. And that would be a good challenge for each one of us. Because you find that these four chapters, they bring before us certain things about the mind. One brother referred to it this morning in chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the humble mind. And that humble mind will always bring harmony in the assembly. And if there's disharmony in the assembly, then you can be sure Amalek's got in the door. And if I walk through the door, I bring him in too, because Amalek is the flesh. And therefore, we need to be very careful when we are in the fellowship of God's people. You find that we're ever learning, and we do come to the knowledge of the truth. But Paul learned a lesson, and that was contentment in whatsoever state he was. Now that touched this dear man's whole life, every area of his life. In whatsoever state, you take that in verse 12, he knew how to be abased and how to abound. But you find that the strength that he had from this, he says, I can do all these things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now what made the Apostle Paul have a contented mind? The various things that he had learned. This is one of them. He had learned contentment in every area of his Christian service. And you know, if we trust the Lord, and I'm not speaking about things that we haven't experienced, God is the God of the impossible. God can do all things. There's no limit to what God can do. But one of the things you find about the Apostle Paul is that he always had the Lord Jesus in view. It was the glorified Christ that he remembered. And I'm just going to, because time goes, I'm going to point out a few little things that you can take and perhaps you can elaborate on them. One of the first things I would look at is verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation or your yieldingness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now there are times when some of us who more or less labor in isolated places, we do miss the fellowship of God's people. But once, away up in the village, I was looking at this particular portion. My father gave me a book when I was saved, Young's Critical Comments. I would commend it to you. And I was looking up just this about the Lord being at hand. As a young believer, I thought, well, the Lord's about to come. But when I looked at it, it said this, Mr. Young said, the Lord is at your elbow. Dear child of God, the Lord has said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And the hymn writer said, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me, and his arms around me thrown. And here you find one of the things that made the Apostle Paul be able to make that statement, the contented. Why? It was because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with him, even in the cell. He tells Timothy, he said, or Timothy chapter 4, but the Lord stood by me. The Lord will never, ever forsake you. I was talking to a young man, and something tragically happened in his life, in his marriage. And in speaking to him, he said to me, well, he said, the Lord wasn't there when I needed him. And I just said this to him, who moved? Who moved? And I hope that you will learn to practice this lovely thing that is so essential in life. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at your elbow. Now, I know some of you are married, but you know, before you got married, at least over where I lived, when I met my dear wife, who my wife-to-be, it was a great thing to have her on my arm and walk along the street. So you find that she was there at my elbow, and we would talk and talk about different things and learn certain things about each other. Now, I want to ask you the question. You to talk to the Lord like that. Are you in communication with the Lord Jesus? Do you know his presence with you? Because this is one of the secrets that the apostle for us here, the companionship of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was in extreme situations, in whatsoever state, he knew the presence of the Lord with him. Now, what does the presence of the Lord do? You remember we have been directed to Luke 24. There was two on their way to Emmaus, and they were sad. And who drew alongside? Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You find that that sadness, it turned to bubbling up hearts when they recognized who was walking with them, the one that could explain all the questions that they had in their mind. It's a wonderful thing to be able to go along and know the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be driving in a car. You can be working some of the places I like to get out in the garden sometimes. And you know, I have very sweet fellowship with the Lord. I remember as a young missionary, you think you have to be running up and down the street and being exercised. running all over the place and doing a whole lot of work and all activities, and you think, my, you're doing great work for the Lord. And I ended up in hospital. And I was telling the Lord all about the, did he not know that I was busy? And you know, as I lay there, that's what the Lord said. Yeah, that's what's wrong. You're just too busy. And you know, in that hospital room, I found the sweetest fellowship. And I have, I'm not a poet, but I have some poems. And one of them, I never forget. The Lord Jesus Christ, I knew his presence in that room. And I wouldn't have exchanged that experience for anything. I remember it with deep, deep appreciation. So we find that here's these two in Luke chapter 24 on the way to Emmaus. Jesus himself drew with them. And it brought joy. It brought them to be active. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us in a way and expounded to us in all the scriptures himself? Then you'd remember also that in John 20, where our brother was referring to us there, where it was John 20, I'm thinking of now about Mary, and she was in the garden, and she was sorrowing. Now listen, we're not up here to take away. I know what sorrow is. And I know that there's some here know what sorrow is. And the Word of God doesn't ever tell you not to sorrow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, sorrow not as others which have no hope. But here's a woman who was devoted to the Lord Jesus. And she went early to the tomb. And what was she doing? There you find she was weeping. Weeping in sorrow. I love that scene. I love to picture it in my mind. When the Lord Jesus said to her, Mary. And, you know, they have theories about the Lord Jesus saying, I haven't made a sound of it. But one of the things that happened in sorrow, and it's only those in sorrow that know the comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring. So when the Apostle Paul would speak about the Lord is at your elbow, the companionship of our blessed Savior. We see some of our dear brothers and sisters, and they're in sorrow. Now, they don't want some off-the-cuff word that you can only comfort those with the comfort you have been comforted by the God of comfort. And so he's saying, then, his presence in connection with sorrow and his comfort. You'll get people telling you when a loved one's taken, you've got their own ideas or psychology. You're angry with God. I was never, ever angry with God. You see, the Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good. That's not always the bright days. Those are the dark days. But the very fact that you know the Lord is with you, that you're able to get down and say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I know that this is going to work for good. His companionship in sorrow. And then you remember in John 20 and verse 19, our brother referred that they were working there, toiled all night, caught nothing. Somebody told me one time that that word suggests they almost caught. Isn't it sometimes that we have been doing that in the gospel service? Somebody tells us
go here and go there.
The Lord is still on the throne, and the Holy Spirit is still the sovereign Spirit of God, still leading in the path of service, and be sure that He's leading and know your motive for doing things. And they were working. And a word from the Lord. You remember how I said, it is the Lord. And Peter, what did he do? I was so anxious to get to the Lord. He went right into the sea to get to the Lord Jesus. And our brother has reminded us how necessary it was. And brethren and sisters, remember this. The Lord Jesus is the Lord of the harvest there. And He's the Lord of the heart. That's why He spoke to Peter, lovest thou me. And then please remember, I don't know, you don't know, but the Lord did tell him. He told him how He was going to glorify God on His way home. Peter speaks about it as his exodus out of this world. And so how important it is to know the presence of the Lord Jesus, the companionship. You know, Exodus, there in 32:14, Moses said, If thy presence go not with me, carries up not hence. Friend, we can't do without knowing the Lord's presence with us in every circumstance of life. Then look at verse 6. Here you find another thing. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Not only is the companionship of Christ, but it's the communion with our Lord Jesus. That's what I believe prayer is. Prayer is talking to the Lord. Some of you, Frank Knox, I remember after my first furlough, I went to Ireland and I went into the parlor with him. And some of these old saints, you know, it's just laughable how simple they were and how godly and how powerful they were. He says, you sit there, I'm going to pray. He tell us stuff and I get on my knees pray. And he's told the Lord all about it. He says, Lord, you know, some of them went out and didn't think there was much to them. But he says, they come back. He says, and it surprised us. But I was the one that had just come back. So I knew what he thought when I went out. But another lady, you know, my dear mother, and she would say that. She had power with God in prayer. I remember my mother-in-law was sick, and I wrote out to my mother, and I said, pray for Granny Scott. Told her all about it, and she wrote back, and she said, well, just pray to the Lord that He'll take Granny home out of her agony. And I said to Celia, well, you know, your mother's gone up, whether she likes it or not. There's great power in communicating with the Lord, not only its companionship. And then you have in verse 8, look at that, the consideration. He speaks here in verse 6 about praying for everything, and at the end of verse 8, thinking on these things, and then in verse 9, doing the things that they've been taught and seen. And then he ends up here in verse 10 with something, and that is the care of sin. Brethren, we're out in the Lord's work. And I thank God for the fellowship of sin and the faithful stewardship. I'll tell you honestly, there's something I feel so unworthy of the kindness and the care of God's dear people. And here you have it. Paul speaks in verse 10 about the care of me. Why, it's wonderful. When a servant of the Lord, when a saint of God, and please remember, don't be thinking it's all full-time servants. We have, sometimes there are businessmen. I hit that old watch, wish we could baptize these watches, but no, they would stop. Nevertheless, he's in business, he's in our assembly, and I got a terrific exercise one time about him. And that's the way the Lord impresses you. If you're in the Lord's presence and praying about where to send those things that belong to the Lord, and I had this deep, deep burden, and I was over in Ireland at the time, and I phoned my son and I said, listen, take something out and take it to this brother. You know, 2 days after that, I got a phone call. And he had been down, he's a businessman, but because they're in business doesn't mean that they have a lot of liquid cash. So please remember the exercise about caring for the saints. Caring for widows, caring for children. But sometimes we just look at a person and think, oh, he's got a business. And this dear brother, God brought him before me. And then he phoned me in Ireland. He says, Tommy, he says, I was down my knees. And he said, I was telling the Lord about how many people I help, but there's nobody to help me. And he says, Brian walked through the door. And he said, I want to thank you very, very much. Caring for one another. Oh, Brennan, it's a blessing. And that is why the Apostle Paul here, he speaks about the contented servant. You know, to be content means that you and I are independent of the world, independent of the earth. And you find when we depend upon the Lord, and he knows it, the Lord leads and guides. I love that Psalm 78. He led them, and then you find at the end, he fed them. May God bless his word. His name's sake.